And you might like to open your Bible to the first epistle of John and chapter 2. And perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we thank you as you deal with our head and heart even now. And our Father will thank you, Spirit of God, as you take your word and bring it home to our head and heart. And our God, we're going to thank you very much. Help us in every way, else we have no help. So thank you very much again. In Christ's name, amen. And remember, in our exercise of late, looking at the book of Epistle of 1 John, and there. And God is telling us, in the light of all that John, the last living apostle, telling us near the end of the writing of God's word, telling us that we need to grow and know in order to enjoy being saved, God's saving grace. But, knowing and growing is not easy. The whole environment is hostile to growing. Darkness instead of light, and wrongness instead of right, and the absence of God's understanding God, knowing God. So we live in a world system that leaves God out of the picture, and therefore we try to understand everything without God. Now, and having said that, keeping that in mind, so John is writing in the light of the Greek Gnostics and stuff, the people, the Greek people, Gnostic knowing, knowers. In other words, people were supposed to have special knowledge, and they'd have special knowledge of this and that, and then they would gather a following, and they'd have a group over here and a group over there, believing this, believing that, doing whatever they did. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, so therefore, John, 1 John 2 and 18, we read to you in verse 18, little children, it is the last time. You have heard the Antichrist will come. Even now are there many Antichrist, whereby we know that it is the last time. So as at the beginning of the verse, it last time it is, so in the end of the verse, it is the last time. Now, and having said that, developing and building, we come to verse 19. And they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, and they weren't, that they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out from us in order that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. They were never of us. So, in the light of that, here's the early church trying to grow and know, and they had the movement of the enemy to encroach, to come in and cripple any understanding, to leave us in darkness. Now, so, in order to get that movement, let me try to go back and maybe help me, understand history. Understand what was happening then and what's happening now. Why? How does it evolve? So, if you would, in order to exercise, it's an exercise, you don't mind doing it, we do it every now and then, we do it all the time actually. We want you to grave it across the river with piranha and sharks and whales, and if you can think of all of that. Here's the stones, to want you to step on a stone, so you can get across to get to the other side. Over to the book of Acts. Now, you know the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, Israel was the chief nation, and Israel is always going to be, come the tribulation and the kingdom, the centerpiece. So, as you read the Old Testament, you understand Israel, unbelief, and the ultimately the cross, and the process of the Gentiles and Jews unbelieving. They're going to crucify Christ. So therefore, what are we? If we just stop there, what is missing? We have the cross. We got that part, but then we look for what? The tribulation and the kingdom. That's what you do. If you stop old Malachi, you're going to look for the tribulation and the kingdom. That's what you're going to look for. Here we are. But that doesn't happen. And so therefore, God is doing something, as we've shared 1,000 times. God is doing something. He's going to show, because of the empty tomb, and because of the unbelief of the Jews, it is an evil and adulterous generation, and they don't believe. So, in the process of their unbelief, God is going to show them they want a sign. They didn't believe his resurrection. They missed that. So God's going to show them that. The only sign I'm going to give you, the sign of the prophet Jonah, etc. 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. So I'm going to show you that sign. Everything is right, the tribulation, kingdom, but you want a space to show the sign of an empty cross and empty tomb. So God is going to show that in his grace. God is going to show his resurrected life in whosoever's to believe. Now, that's easy to say. Let's put that together so you see it and the ramifications of how that works out. Now, so therefore, in the book of Acts, on the day, Great Council in Jerusalem, Acts chapter 15, and in the process, you will notice in chapter 15, verse 7, remember, this is a big council now in Jerusalem. And when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, Men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles, by my mouth, should hear the word of the gospel and be saved. And Peter, Cornelius, Gentile, and so Peter brought the gospel to the Gentiles in a direct way to Cornelius, etc. Now, having done that, sliding over my cam to verse 12, then all the multitude kept silent and gave audience to Barnabas and Paul, declaring what miracles and wonders God had wrought among the Gentiles by them. So here's Peter to the Jews. He introduces the gospel to the Gentiles. Paul comes along and he goes to the Gentiles. That's what he does. Jews and Gentiles, actually. And the Gentiles. And he does that. Now, chapter 15, verse 14. Simon hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. God is looking to do what? He's dealing with the Jews and the nations of the world. Right now, an empty cross, and God is going, what is the cross? The cross is a public declared rejection of God's saving grace. The Jews crucify him. So the Romans, the Jews, they crucified him. They're rejecting the cross. God is going to take, remember Romans 1, verse 10, to the world, they don't know. Romans 1:11, the Jews would not receive him. And then we come to 1:12, John 1:12, as many as received him, to them gave he the right, the power, the privilege to become children of God. So that's Jew and Gentile. That's right. So something different. That wasn't in the Old Testament. And that doesn't mean the Jews, Gentiles couldn't get saved. It just, that wasn't the rule. That wasn't how it works. Israel's the centerpiece. Now, in this period of space, from the cross to the tribulation to the wrath of God, is grace. God is demonstrating his wonderful person in his resurrected life in the heart of a believer, in the heart of believers. He's showing his resurrected life, that he lives. Did he really rise from the grave? Yes. And I and you and believers, we amen it. Now, having said that, so therefore, it wasn't understood. Did Moses understand? John the Baptist didn't even understand. They didn't understand. And understand what? That God was doing something, going to do something different and special to whosoever's, and he was going to place himself in their heart, and they're going to show his resurrected life because they go from death unto life. They're to enjoy a relationship to God, to show that relationship to God by thus his resurrection. That's what they're showing. So, A, B, C. Over to Romans. And in Romans chapter 11. And chapter 11, may I go to verse 11. I say then, remember 9, 10, and 11 are about Israel. What place does Israel have in this space, in this age of grace? 11:11. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid, but rather through their fall, Jews, they crucified him. They shouldn't have. Through their fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles, to whosoever would believe. John 1:12. But for what reason? Among other things, to provoke them to jealousy, to wake the Jew up in this time of grace. Verse 12. Now if the fall of them, the unbelief of the Jews, be the riches of the world, and in other words, the gospel goes to whosoever, the wonderful saving grace of God. Verse 12, if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness, their wonderful fullness, when God gives them back. But, chapter 11, verse 25, for I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles come in. In other words, Israel can't be the centerpiece again until God is finished with this period of grace. And therefore they're going to go, and it's a mystery. And we share together, a mystery is something that God has to make. In other words, no one knows about it until God says something about it. You can't understand something that isn't understood, it can't be understood. God makes it known. God is doing something that you didn't read in the Old Testament. God's doing something, you didn't read it, so you'd never know it. Now you know it, that's a mystery, hang on. This period is a mystery period. Mystery. This is not seen in the Old Testament, and once it's finished at the tribulation kingdom, and it's just in this little space, it's a mystery. Why? Because God is demonstrating his grace to an unbelieving Jew and Gentile. Therefore, Romans chapter 11, verse 26, verse 20. Now, so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. In other words, Israel's going to be saved, but not yet. Not yet, in part. So don't think Israel, God forgot Israel. God didn't. He has all those 39 books to tell you about Israel. So he has to finish the job. He has to do what he's going to do, But you need to, he's giving us help to understand our position, which is not understood. If we read the Old Testament, we wouldn't know what's going on. So God has to give it pieces to understand. The Spirit of God has to help us so that we can understand. It's a time to take Jew and Gentiles out, whosoever's that can get saved, and place them in God, by God's grace, to place them in a relationship to Christ, the body, so that they demonstrate the resurrected life of Christ. Now, walk in newness of life. So that mystery. So the Jews, we got them, put aside them, and the mystery, remember we did it last time, over to Colossians. And in Colossians chapter 1, and Christ in us, and that's what it is. It's a mystery. In other words, it's unheard of. That's why the Jews rejected Christ, among other reasons, is that God can't become a man. And what's the spirit of Antichrist? That God entered, born in Bethlehem of Judea. God literally entered in and took on perfect humanity and made himself one with it. He did that. He actually did that. They couldn't believe that. So he's demonstrating it by us, whosoever's, us humans. Therefore, Colossians 1:26 again. When therefore I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. What's the word of God? Even the mystery which has been hid from the ages, from generations, but now is made manifest, openly, clear, plain to his saints. Verse 27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery. What's so marvelous about it among us, a mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you. Just what we just said. He's demonstrating his resurrected life. That's what he's doing. It's a mystery, utter mystery. Mm-hmm. God can't, and we share that. That's one of the things that keeps people. It's a big hindrance. What is that? That God, G-O-D, in Christ, could find his home, literally, in your heart, literally. I didn't say literally. We all say, oh yeah, I believe God. Do you believe that God, who out there can, we're in his presence, he has no measurements, that we're in God, God is in us. Literally, the God who counts the stars is in you. Think about that. You don't. It's hard, isn't it? That's awful hard. How could that possibly be? Right. That's what I'm trying to tell you. It's a mystery. And God doing it because no one believes that that's possible. Ah, but it is. And like we shared last time in that a God. I have to think of that. When you're looking to God, God is running the universe. I mean, in your presence, God, you're running the universe. You're running the universe for me. I'm headquarters. That's way out. You get the idea. God's running the universe. The God in me is the God who's running the universe. That changes your life once you get that. But that's too hard. It's too hard for believers. Do you understand? Believers don't even believe it. Practically. Now, you can say whatever you want. I can be a bishop and a pope, whatever. It just practically, we don't believe that. No, we don't. We'd be different. We'd be different. Now, it's a mystery. That's right. It's too wonderful. God in you, Christ in you. Now, having got that part, that's what's so wonderful. God in Christ is showing newness, walking newness of life. You've been crucified with Christ. Therefore, to exercise that wonderful, wonderful life, what are we going to do? Well, we have to exercise it, but in the process of exercising it, in a world of love's darkness rather than light, we have a problem because the world doesn't want to see the light. It doesn't want to know God and have God in that way. Therefore, mystery, over to 2 Thessalonians. And in 2 Thessalonians, as you read, 2 Thessalonians, you just keep going, kind of mystery is God in you. And what's it up against? What are you writing about it in the gospel, in John 2, first epistle of John? Because the Antichrist, the spirit of Antichrist, is moving, and it's the last hour, it is time. We are living in the last hour. And we shared all that, why that's true. It's the last hour. This is it. This is our time. This is it. This is a special time. Tribulation is a special time, 7 years. The kingdom is a special time, 1,000 years. This time is a time of grace, special. There is no other part of it. It is it. Now hang on. God is there, God in us. So chapter 2 and verse 7. For the mystery of iniquity, remember, iniquity is lawlessness, doth already work, present tense, it is working. You know from 1 John 2, it is the last hour. That's for godliness and for God's working. It is also true, at the same time, lawlessness, God in you, the believing heart, and is there, and you need to grow and know. At the same time, God, in his wonderful grace, is allowing lawlessness to exist. So the two exist at the same time. The spirit of Antichrist is busy. You don't read about the spirit of Antichrist in the book of Deuteronomy. You don't read about the spirit of Antichrist in Isaiah, even though a lot of it's there. You don't read that. No, it's now. Why? Because after the cross, what is Christ doing? God is demonstrating his wonderful person. What does lawlessness do? It hates Antichrist. It hates the fact that in the Old Testament, Malachi is a prophet. But when we come to Jesus Christ in the heart of the believer, Jesus Christ, God in Christ, is demonstrating himself in an awesome way. And therefore, the devil goes and has to deal with what? Not a prophet. And what he says, he has to deal with Christ directly. Now, how do you deal with Christ directly? Antichrist. God can't be in a human being. God can't have human flesh. That bang it home. You could have never said that in the old Malachi or something, because it wasn't even existent in their mind. It is now. Therefore, the mystery of lawlessness doth already work. Only he who now lets or hinders will let until he be taken out of the way. And the Spirit of God is slowing it all down. It can't go. You can't have the tribulation until the Spirit of God takes the church up. Because he's demonstrating grace. The church goes up, grace goes up. That doesn't mean God is not gracious. He is. But he's done with showing himself to an evil and adulterous generation. He's done showing himself. And so the wrath of God comes. Now, and the Spirit of God is going to go. When the Spirit takes us up, then that's what's left. Grace is gone, and the wrath of God, the tribulation begins. Now, thereafter. Now, having said that, and got that little bit, now go with me, if you can, lawlessness. And lawlessness leads to the lawless one. That's the Antichrist. Lawlessness to the lawless one, Antichrist, the person of Antichrist. Now, having said that, we now go and to add another piece to it to help us understand. Over, if I can, to 1 Timothy, which we did also a little bit. 1 Timothy chapter 3. And 1 Timothy chapter 3, and add to what we're looking at, chapter 3, verse 15, remember we read, "For if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth." The church represents Christ. That's what Christ is demonstrating, his wonderful person, and showing it. God in you, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Verse 16, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest, made public, clear, plain, in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory." Now, the Lord Jesus Christ, that's what he did. He died, he was buried, and rose again, and ascended, seated at the right hand of God. And he's demonstrating that he's seated, he died, he's seated, he's risen and seated. He's demonstrating that in the heart of the believer. The believer is enjoying what? A unique relationship to God in Christ, to demonstrate their being new creatures in Christ. Old things passed away. Everything becomes new, different. They're just demonstrating a relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is risen and seated at the right hand of God. They enjoy a living, real relationship to God. And that's a mystery of godliness. The word godliness is the word well plus worship. Well worship, good worship, a whole-hearted worship of God, a full, whole-hearted worship of God in a most wonderful, wonderful, wonderful way. Over to 1 Timothy, and in chapter 6, you'll see God, not to do it, just enough to catch it. 1 Timothy, chapter 6, verse 3, "If any man teach otherwise, and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine, the teaching, which is according to godliness, the mystery of godliness," right? That God could really be at home and demonstrate, you are able to demonstrate a unique relationship to God in a most wonderful way. You're his child, his son. You enjoy a relationship. Wow, that's right. Mystery of godliness. Now, you got that part. Now, you got a little bit where we are. So the church, you come along, and here's the church. And in the process, over to 2 Timothy. And 2 Timothy began in chapter 3. And you will note, remember now it's talking about the end of the age, where John is, only this is years earlier. John's up there at 95 AD, and Timothy, here we are in Timothy, probably 67 AD. We're way back early here. And but all of it's the same. But when you come to John in 95 AD, boy, things are really working. Hang on. Now, so chapter 3, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, etc., etc., etc. Sliding down to verse 5, having what this whole crowd, this whole mood, this whole atmosphere, having a form, outward form, an appearance, but has no form to it, a form that has no appearance. In other words, you don't know what to do with a dumb thing. You see, the hymn book has a appearance, form to it. This has no form, a form of godliness. So you can't put it in a box. You can't get it. It's the form of godliness. But, it's fine. Denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Denying the power. There's no power to it. It's about God, church, religion. But there is no God. There is no form. It's all kinds of things. It's a mystery. Form. That's where we are. So here's the form of godliness. Here we are, supposed to be clear, plain, and wonderfully clear, plain, and saved. So over to see that. Over to the book of Acts. Book of Acts. And in chapter 2. Book of Acts, chapter 2, picking up, if I may, verse 40. In the light of Peter's message on the day of Pentecost, to verse 40. And with many other, Acts 2, 40. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this outward, untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls, and all the people in the beginning had to be saved. It was too awesome. And the Spirit of God was moving, and the people, John the Baptist had spent those years preparing them. And they got baptized looking for Christ to come. So all these people got saved. They really got saved. And so therefore what? You just, when you went in the group, if you weren't saved, boy, you know you weren't saved when you look at those people, when you were with them, because those people were really saved. Now, so that's fine. It keeps it clean, pure. And therefore God, to keep it and protect it, persecution, chapter 8. Chapter 8, verse 1. And Saul was consenting unto his death, and at that time there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the region of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. So persecution. What's persecution going to do? It's going to slow everyone. No one's going to come in if the group's getting arrested and put fed to the lions. They aren't going to come in. What I want to get fed to the lions for? No, I'm not going to join that group. No, no. In fact, they were rebelled against it. The city, citizens did. So therefore, in the process, what's happening now? Galatians chapter 1. It wasn't very long that the devil, the persecution, a persecution led 313, the churches, 380, I guess it was, one of the Roman empires, whatever guy's name was, begins with V or something. The Roman Empire, what do? They legalized and made Christianity the church, the religion of Rome. They took Christianity and made it church legitimate. Everyone should be, we're Roman citizens. There's nothing wrong with being Christian. You see, it changed. When that changed, before that, 1 John 2 and 19, they went out from us because they didn't fit in. What do you mean they didn't fit in? Galatians, verse 6, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there is some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ, etc. Though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel, he was buried, died, and rose again according to the scriptures, preach any other gospel unto you, that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed, etc. What's happening? They're bringing in. So the people come in, churches, we had it over the years. Someone said, well, no, we don't believe that. We don't believe that, but we believe everything else. We just don't believe that. And then out they go. Because they don't. But after this, what's going to happen? Hang on, do a little more so you see it. Over if I can. Second Corinthians. And in 2 Corinthians, chapter 11. And you'll notice, Paul said, verse 3, God, what are you concerned about? But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve, tricked her through his subtlety, his craftiness. So, your minds, what you think, shall be corrupted from the simplicity, the single-heartedness that is in Christ. It's such a simple, wonderful relationship. Your body to you, and you live in your body, and Christ lives in you. You have a unique relationship to God. Verse 4, what's the problem? For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or you receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which you have not accepted, you might well bear with him. Remember now, another. There's all kinds. People are writing, you read letters, here's the Ephesians letter, here's a letter that says Ephesians, but it's the wrong thing. All kinds of things. And you know 13, verse 13, 14, 15, that his apostles are transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. Verse 13. Verse 14, and Satan himself transformed into an angel of light. Verse 15, and his ministers, servants, the ones, angels, he also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness. Now you got all kinds of stuff going. Cuckoo stuff way out. And you know they're going to read, don't have time to do it. If you read in Acts, Timothy and that, Hymenaeus and Philetus, what are they doing? They're preaching the resurrection's already happened. They were in the church. The resurrection's all done. You don't have to worry about it. It's all gone. You missed it. You see. Saying all kinds of things. So what do we do at the church? What were they doing? They were, at one point, it was so strong, they went out from among us because they weren't part of us. They never were saved. So you need to know that. What is the spirit of Antichrist? People that don't believe God's word. That God is really, really God in Christ in you. It's for real. And they don't believe that. They change it in some form or fashion. And they're out. But give us a little space. 380 AD and that stuff. When the church, Rome, and Roman Catholicism, Greek Orthodox, all that comes in. What are we doing? The world was able to come in and join the church. The world came in with all the different things. And we got a 7,000 different things, all kinds of things going on. If you took Christendom, and looked at it, and you began to analyze each thing, watch how different they are. The Methodist doesn't want to become a Baptist, the Baptist doesn't want to become a Congregationalist, et cetera, et cetera. That doesn't mean you aren't saved. It means the system is corrupted to the point where we don't have a wonderfully simple, clear message, and the believers are enjoying a wonderful, simple life in Christ. Gone. Testimony's gone. Now, closing. You're getting a little bit. I didn't get very far. But I wanted you to get to see. It's just happened. It has to happen. It's where we are. Now, over to 2 Corinthians. You're already there. Stay there. And 2 Corinthians, in the light of that, picking up what I can, in the light of that. 2 Corinthians, chapter 13, and you'll see it. Verse 4, though he was crucified with Christ, crucified through weakness, yet he liveth by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God to a Jew. In other words, Paul is affirming. Now you need to know and find the Corinthian church was the one church that had oodles of problems. They had one pile of problems after another. They had a boom, it turned the pages, lawlessness and signs and gifts and everything else. They were all over the place, all over the place. And that's why Paul's 1 Corinthians is to correct everything. So when you come to 2 Corinthians, written just a while later, a little later, 2 Corinthians, remember what they're supposed to enjoy a new life in Christ, to be triumphant. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, they're to enjoy God's wonderful presence in person in their life. But they weren't. Therefore, chapter 13, verse 5, examine yourself. Present tense, it's a command. Examine yourself. Put yourself to the test. Make trial of whether you be in the faith, in the body of truth to be believed. Believe the gospel. Christ died, buried, and rose again, and you received him as your Savior. Examine yourselves. Prove, put yourself to the test. Whether you be in the faith, the body of truth to be believed. And thy word have I hid in my heart, like we'd say in Psalm 119. Examine yourself. Again, prove, present tense, command. Put to the proof. Your own selves. Test yourself. Examine yourself. What for? No, present tense. No. Jesus Christ is presently in you. I-N, inside. Christ in you, the hope of glory. The mystery of Christ in you, the hope of glory. Again, no, Jesus Christ is in you unless, except you be reprobates. That's testing metal and finding the metal's no good, just a whole lot of waste, dross, waste. That's your reprobates. You will not stand the test. You're unapproved. You need to what? See if you're really saved. After you're done with 2 Corinthians, test yourself in the light of the mess that's out there, in the light of all the stuff all over the place to believe. Test your belief. Is Christ in you or isn't he? Personal. And that's what makes you saved, not the Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian. All people can be saved. Anyone that believes and receive Christ as their Savior. He that hath life, he that hath Christ hath life. Life is found in Christ. I cannot have received the Savior if Christ is in my heart. I have to belong to him. So no matter what mess I'm in, Catholic, Protestant, whatever, no matter what I'm in, am I saved or aren't I? That's the question. That's what Paul says when you're done. The seriousness is, we aren't going to fix this mess, but are you saved or aren't you? That's the problem. Otherwise, you're reprobate. You're tested and you can't become out good. Because, well, I believe, but I never received. You can believe and never received. You know that. I can believe he died on the cross and not be saved. Because my belief isn't resting on the person of Christ. It's resting on what I think out here, if not in here. I don't have our Lord said it. You know, without, I can't do it. You know, the Lord said it. He said it in knowing, Matthew and that. And you're going to say to me, all you did this, and I am going to tell you, I never knew you. The Lord says that. I never knew you. You said you knew me. But I never knew you. Test him. Am I saved? Am I really saved? That's the question. See? Because you can believe and never be saved in that sense. You can accept Christ like you accept the Washington Monument, like you accept George Washington, you know. But what's George Washington got to do with you, you see? Got the idea? I gotta quit. We didn't get very far, but I tried to get you to have a little movement. The movement's real there. It's there. It's there, what the mess is out here. And by the way, without any doing with that revelation and all that, what do you know? Revelation 17. Where is the world system going? We said it 2 or 3 times here over the last couple of times. The world system. It's the churches. The church, you're going to say, the rapture is going to happen, and the church is gone. The church may be gone, but the churches aren't gone. The system isn't gone. Anyway, without getting into it, you got the idea? They're all here. They're glad you're gone. See, someone's going to say, well, why? What happened to the whatever? And now they aren't. They're just going to be glad they can't find you. But they're going to be glad. You're a pain in the neck to them when you tell them to get saved. And boy, and we're going to join the system. Anyway, I got to quit. I'm sorry I didn't get further enough, but hope you got a little bit.